Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're having a fantastic week this week. Making my way back from Columbia. Had a great weekend. Many thanks to all of you that I saw at the Wing Off this weekend. Always great to see people, my people. I consider you all my people, the great Gamecock Nation, and just, very grateful to be part of this, I guess, community is the best way to describe it. Gamecock Nation, just it's an honor to do what I do every day for all of you folks. And getting back to Columbia kind of reminds me of that. Just the people, it's what makes it special. You can ask anybody about the University of South Carolina, and there haven't been very many coaches that have moved on in major sports and gotten other jobs. There's more than there used to be. You have a lot of baseball coaches that have landed on their feet that have been here. And then in basketball now, you got the last two, Frank Martin and Darren Horn, are coaching elsewhere. Sparky Woods coached at VMI for a while as the head coach. But there's a flip side to that coin. Some used to say it's a coach's graveyard. Well, in recent years, there's been a lot of coaches that have had opportunities to go elsewhere and they haven't. And one of the reasons is the people. As someone on staff once told me, for football, it's like it's a hard job, it's a great job. The most important thing about it's a fulfilling job, because when you win, the gratitude is just there and you can just feel it. So that's why it's a special place. It's a special place. And hopefully all of you that have hung in there and make this place special will be rewarded soon with some wins. Thank goodness the academic year of 2025-26 is over. Didn't expect that right here in the middle of the decade, but onward and upward, right? Bigger things. We're at June 23rd now, so it's time to start looking forward to the 2026 football season in earnest. And that starts with recruiting. It was a big recruiting weekend. Obviously, we usually have the wing off right during that time period for reasons and all that. It's a good thing for recruits to see fans gathering and things like that. My friends at Five Point Social, it's a new sports bar, private club opening up in Five Points, the old Five Point sign. That building used to be the Knock Knock Club and then the Cotton Gin. And some friends of mine, Cocky Hospitality and Cox by 90, have purchased it. And you've seen the signs on social media. I wanted to say real quick, I would encourage everybody to go follow them on social media and share the signs to recruits and all that good stuff, because that's the kids seem to like it. I think some kids were taking some pictures down there and also over at touchdowns as well. I spoke with some people over the weekend. There's not going to be competing signs or it's not going to be like this bloodthirsty rivalry between the two. They know each other. They're all friends, and they've got some kind of ground rules to where one's going to say some types of things, some phrasing, and one the other. But, certainly appreciate all those guys. Do everybody should, because those are kind of iconic and unique to the University of South Carolina's recruiting efforts. But the reason we hold it that weekend is it's good to see fans out and about. In June, Columbia is a little sleepy because the students aren't there. Not maybe as much as it used to be, but I like it in the summertime. And the weather cooperated this weekend. It was not that hot, and I enjoyed my time because it is kind of laid back and all that good stuff. Miss the place, really, really do. But that's why we do all that. And there were a lot of good recruits on campus this weekend. We're going to start with Josh Dobson, five-star corner from Huff High School, Cornelius, North Carolina. Of course, he was at Catawba Ridge. Gamecocks have been recruiting him for forever. Had a fantastic visit. And I'm going to start by saying this in general. Most players have fantastic visits these days. They're very first-class operations. It's still the old school whining and dining and having a great time, especially with high school kids. Portal visits can be a little fancy sometimes, but they're also more like business trips, interviews in some way. But these high school recruiting visits are great. You know, if you'd have told me, speaking of Columbia, in the 2000s when Steve Spurrier first got there and before they built the Long Building and before they had some of the stuff on campus they have now, that the whole apparatus of college football recruiting was switching to a model where you have official visits over the summer, I'd have been like, ooh, you know, because back in the day, North Carolina, because Chapel Hill's a little bit different than Columbia in the summer. Very beautiful, nice place. And Clemson, that has the advantage of a big lake, they would get kids on unofficials over the summer for camp and stuff. And these camps were just epic. And Carolina really treaded water with camps because you had the practice field out there on a bluff road. People driving by in trucks, dusty a little bit, yelling out the window. I don't even know how anybody practiced out there, to be honest. You know, you had to cross the road. It was blazing hot. You know, during the Spurrier era, I don't know. He necessarily wanted to be there. I mean, it was. I mean, he wanted to be there. He was. I've seen him coach guys up at camp, so it's. I don't want to push this narrative that Coach Spurrier was just sitting on his golf cart or under the shade, you know, drinking a cold Coors Light the whole time, right? He was out there coaching. But let's just say that I would have thought this would have been a challenge. But, you know, since they built the indoor and they've got all these great facilities, and this is why, you know, facilities don't necessarily lead to automatic wins, but they help you recruit. And they help you, I guess what they do is they help you make a good impression. And there's a lot of indoor activities now. And you know, the city is so much, I mean, Columbia is unrecognizable compared to 25 years ago. There's a lot to do still in the summer. So they do a great job. And a lot of that's because of the current staff, but a lot of it also, I mean, Will Muschamp did a great job with summer visits. A lot of it's because of what Carolina has done, the commitment that the University of South Carolina has made to becoming a first-class SEC level operation. And so just about everybody has a great official visit, right? Especially to South Carolina. And just about everybody's going to talk about the family atmosphere. And I'll touch on that real quick because that's something. You know, we talk about culture, and I've said it before. Nobody wants to hear about culture when you're losing. Nobody wants to hear about culture when you go 4-8, on the outside. Internally, though, culture is what you use when you go 4-8 or when you hit rough patches. It's very much about responding. Anybody can have a great vibe when they're winning. Okay. It's common sense. It's called front running. You know, culture is what you use when things are not good. And I use the example of this all the time. In 24. I mean, you know, you're coming off 5-7. The opener did not go well. You won. And then boom, you beat Kentucky. All of a sudden things change in 24 hours. LSU comes to town, game day's there. It's an opportunity. That LSU team was not very super duper. And Carolina lose everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Carolina loses a heartbreaker to the Bayou Bengals, who erase a two touchdown deficit and win the game 36-33. All right, so Lenora Sellers got hurt. Robbie Ashford starts against Akron. First play of the Akron game, Rocket Sanders gets hurt. There's an open date. Ole Miss comes to town and the Juice Wells thing and all that. And it just was not a good day. Beamer didn't have a good day coaching. Lenora Sellers and Rocket were about 80%. It just wasn't a good day. Ole Miss's defense was really good. Carolina gave up some big plays in the pass game. They lost 27-3. So all of a sudden, there's two losses, and you're 1-2 in the SEC. Kentucky's a distant memory. Well, then you got Alabama. Alabama's sitting there dominating, up 14-0. Lenoris throws the long touchdown pass on 4th and 10 to Mazio Bennett. All of a sudden, it's a war in the second half. Unfortunately, Sellers had a fumble, up 19-14. Alabama recovers, takes the lead. Gamecocks fight the pass from Sellers to Harbor for the touchdown. You recover the onside kick and then boom, another turnover. That's a heartbreaker against a team you're a three touchdown underdog. A lot of teams would have packed it in, right? Especially with as many transfers as they had that year. Remember, a lot of the key players were one and done portal guys, but they didn't. They come back the next week and bound and determined to just beat the crap out of Oklahoma, especially on defense. See, defense, you don't have culture, man. It's you don't defense and offensive line. I mean, because it's physical. If you've mailed it in, you're not going to really run to the ball, or you're not going to really square up and tackle somebody and hit someone. You know, it's again human nature. So they beat Oklahoma. Well, then they beat A&M, and then they got on the roll. Okay, so they don't get on that roll if they didn't have culture. Because if we remember correctly, and I always say this, like about when I talk about the struggles Gamecock fans have been through, you know, there was 1 month of greatness with the way the schedule and the 24 football season played out. Other than that, you know, I mean, you did a 23-24 in basketball, it was good. Baseball 24 made, I mean, they won, but you know, it really had 1 month to feel good. Really good, right? And so, you know, if you didn't have culture, that wouldn't have happened. If you didn't have culture at the end of last year, you know, they're not going on the road and taking a big lead at A&M. By then, you know, let's just chill, you know. And I know the second half was terrible on defense. So maybe that, I mean, I don't know if that was culture. They came back the next week and played pretty inspired football against Coastal, which it's not easy, like Beamer said afterward, to get up for a team that's on a lower level like that, but they did, 151-7. But you know, point is, culture's good internally, even though you guys and gals don't want to hear all about it. You know, especially the buzzy culture. I kind of just dove in, but buzzy, you know, culture. But internally, it helps, and also helps in recruiting. And if you look, almost everybody that was quoted after visiting said family atmosphere, big old family, closeness of the team, this, that, or the other. That's culture. Because when you're on a visit for 48 hours, you can feel it, right? It's hard to talk it up and make it get through in that short amount of time. So you have to feel it. That leads to this is an authentic type of deal. And it is. It's real. Win, lose, or draw, it's real. And it doesn't always mean you win. Like I said, it's helpful when you lose because you can rebound. And so many teams across the country, especially recently, they let things snowball on them a bit. Eventually, it turned, you know, some teams turn around, like Clemson last year. Eventually, they got their act together and beat Florida State and, you know, got on a roll right before they played Carolina, just like they always do, and beat Carolina. But, you know, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't get it together. So, you know, it's very useful to have and very useful in recruiting. So let's start with Josh Dobson. I promised you guys that. And his mother made a great comment on X after the game, after the visit. Said, you know, super visit, fantastic. He's South Carolina, didn't know us anything. Very, you know, praised the program. You know, Torrey and Gray spent a lot of time with Josh. The NIL situation with him is good. You know, is it A&M? Is Auburn gonna sneak in there? You know, I don't know. Of all the guys that visited this past weekend, Josh is probably one I feel the best about right now, just based on everything. But again, you know, and they talked about Beamer's future, and Torian Gray is part of Beamer's coaching staff. He's coached with a Beamer most of his career, and it's like Shane said in an interview, I think with Jamie, he was like, well, he keeps getting opportunities and he keeps staying. And Carolina's rewarded him with for his loyalty. But if you're Josh Dobson, you're looking at that development track record, and if you want that, but it may not be there because you never know. I mean, they don't have a good year, they have to make a change. Bring some coach in. Maybe he's an offensive-minded guy that doesn't really care about defense, and just hires his buddy to coach the secondary or something. That's happened before. You may not get the same development. And I'll be honest, Josh Dobson's a talented player, five-star guy. He needs to develop. He's not a no-brainer. I don't know that he steps in year one and starts like Stephon Gilmore did at this point. That's just my opinion and the opinion of a couple of others. So he needs to develop. And so Torian Gray is absolutely a great person to do that, but he's got to be there. So I'm glad they had that talk. Maybe that gets them to the finish line with him. It's going to be an interesting decision. But as far as the vibe goes and behind the scenes, Carolina's done all it could do for with him, including putting their money where their mouth is from an NIL standpoint. Josh will commit as part of Rivals Summer Signing Day. We're part of the Rivals slash On3 network. Rivals is the recruiting brand, high school sports brand. And it will be next Wednesday. So we are rapidly approaching a Josh Dobson decision date with that. So Nate Carson had a good visit, and this was going to be interesting. This one, I don't know. I was told a while back in the end, Carolina probably would get him. Georgia is a big factor. Colorado, I think they threw some money at him. Their finalist, Clemson, I don't think is going to get him. They're listed as a finalist. He announces July 3rd, so next Friday. I think that's on 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. So Nate Carson, the big offensive lineman from Irmo, I love the way he plays. I know his recruitment's been all over the place, and he's had different leaders at different times, but I think we kind of expected that. A local guy from Irmo, he's got the common trait that a lot of these offensive linemen that Randy Clements and Jason Smith have been recruiting, and that he's physical and kind of nasty. He's also got position versatility, really good footwork, long arms, could be a tackle, could be a guard. And there's a lot of guys like that. It just kind of maybe depends on how he grows, but he is so boom boom. You've got and Josh Dobson, I guess he's not an in-state guy technically, but you could kind of consider him an in-state guy. He's from North Carolina too, technically now, but just like Devontae Holloman was a North Carolina guy, he was at Independence in Charlotte before he came to South Point his senior year. So those guys up there cross the border sometimes, right? So two of the big names are going boom boom next week. Davion Jones is Josh Dobson's teammate at Huff. He's not until July 26. There's some LSU buzz from him. He also had a fantastic visit to South Carolina. South Carolina's been in it for a while. He's a safety. He's a little undersized compared to most safeties, but just a ball player. I wonder if LSU mentioned Honey Badger to him while he was down there. He's not quite that small, but he's not Jazavian Currents or Nicky Minwore or Kendall Daniels Jr. or even, some of your bigger safeties out there. But he's a good ball player. I mean, just a football player. But he doesn't go till July 26th. So the interesting thing about him is, if they get Dobson, does that help with him? And I don't know the answer to that. Spain Park in Hoover, Alabama has a defensive end, Marquise Haynes, who visited this past weekend. Kind of a, or sorry, Marquise Haynes, Marquise Evans, who visited this past weekend. And he's not an end, come to find out. He's a 265-pound tackle prospect. Probably that athletic end of the tackle position. They play two. Ideally, they don't always do this, but ideally, you have one bigger guy like Gabe Brown-Odende, and one more athletic guy like Tumiwa Durajaye. Or if you prefer, like if you put Gabe Brown-Odende out there with a Taka Hemingway, that's kind of one's called nose and one's called three technique, I think. He's more the three technique type because he plays edge in high school, but he's going to be a tackle long term. It's Marquise Evans again. Auburn is, up there. Birmingham guy, Spain Park. Tennessee's in it. Miami, Florida, Gamecocks. He had a great visit, but, I think they're kind of behind on him coming in. I don't know what that situation will be, but he doesn't have a scheduled announcement date. So there's that. And then there's Evion Lewis, who is committed to Kentucky, who visited this past weekend. He's a wide receiver from Richmond, Virginia, Huguenot High School. Gamecocks have been kind of back in the saddle with him. He took an official. Carolina's got a pretty good shot to flip him from the Wildcats. Now, the Wildcats have been spending and they have what's called recruiting momentum. They have a first-year head coach in Will Stein. But we'll see what happens with him. So he would be like, they didn't take Amari Patterson. So if they take Lewis, that would kind of be, and I think Lewis is a little bit better prospect at the end of the day, certainly a better fit with the program. No timeline for him. It could be any day. Now, there are some welcome homes out there. I think we're missing a couple maybe. Three, two, three. So we'll see. I don't have the welcome home tracker in front of me. I apologize. Others out there, Stafford Willis, who, if you'd have told me 3 weeks ago, I'd have said the Gamecocks are getting him, but Alabama got involved. I did some checking on that. He's from Arab, Alabama, northern part of the state. Family grew, Roll Tide family. It's hard to get guys like that. Once Alabama offered, I did hear, Alabama's not the biggest spending with high school players, really not in the portal either, but it's Alabama. It's an in-state team. He visited there this past weekend. I would expect him to commit to Alabama today. But you never know. I mean, like I said, there's some welcome homes out there. You just never know. But he's the kid that had the tomahawk. The first when we first found out about the tomahawk ribeye on the first visit weekend, it was him and really good player. I mean, I think Alabama was smart to offer him. Position versatility, all that good stuff. If they can get him, and they probably will. So he's today, June 23rd. So later today, 2 days from today. Kevin Millington, one of those, I call him Torian Gray special, 6 foot three and a half defensive back from North Oconee in Bogart, Georgia, three-star guy. He is a developmental guy for sure. But he was going to go to Virginia Tech, did not make the trip. He's going to be at the opening. The opening, for those that don't know, is an all-star recruiting camp. I used to go every year. I love that trip because usually happened in the middle of late June, early July. Got to the Pacific Northwest. The weather's usually tight and really always great memories out there. Saw a lot of great players too. It's on the Nike campus in Beaverton, Oregon. And those folks, I've known them for years, that put it on. It used to be called Student Sports. Now I think it's part of Nike. Brian Stump and those guys do a fantastic job. Just with the kids and everything. I mean, Trent Dilfer used to be the quarterback's coach there. He was really good and always great to work with. But anyway, that's out there, and he's going to announce out there, and that's in 2 days. That's on today's Tuesday. So it'll be Thursday. Kevin Millington, he could be one of the wouldn't surprise me if he was one of the welcome homes. Also on the Rivals recruiting prediction machine, they've got him predicted to go right now to South Carolina. So that one's probably a safe bet for the Gamecocks. Of course, he visited a couple of weekends ago, had a fantastic time. So there you have it. So in review with the, for the five that visited this weekend, I feel relatively good about Dobson. With Nate Carson, it just keeps getting back to me that, yeah, I think George is there right there in the mix, but I just keep getting back to at the end he'll be a Gamecock. So, not as confident about that one. Probably wouldn't throw a, like a crystal ball prediction or a recruiting predictions machine prediction out for that. Maybe I would for Dobson. It's just, with the headwinds and with how things have gone, you don't get your hopes up for anybody. Unbelievable, Now, Amari Patterson, once again, that was Carolina's decision. So, that wasn't a loss. He did not go, oh, I'd rather go to North Carolina. He didn't have the option to come to South Carolina. Davion Jones is not till the end of July. We'll see how things progress with him, especially if they get Dobson in the boat on July 1st. Marquise Evans from Alabama, probably Auburn, and Evan Lewis. There's no decision date because he's a flip candidate committed to Kentucky, the receiver from Virginia. Yeah, I could see that going the Gamecocks' way. So I'll rank them in order of confidence would be Dobson 1, Lewis 2, A, Carson 2B, Jones 3rd, and then Evans down at the bottom as far as the five that visited this weekend. And I'm not saying that Marquise Evans didn't have a fantastic visit and the Gamecocks might have given him something to think about. I'm just, there were that die has kind of been cast. Now he's been recruited by the Gamecocks for a long time, but I think Auburn's been in a really good spot for a while, and that's hard to overcome. So, but these days, I mentioned Stafford Willis and a lot of players, but these days it's one of those things where there are players that leave Alabama that have Alabama and Auburn offers. It just happens. So, especially Auburn struggling. Of course, they got a new coach now, and shoot, Hugh Freeze didn't struggle to recruit. I mean, they signed a bunch of good players. So we'll see kind of what happens there. But yeah, so Lewis, Carson kind of behind Dobson, Jones after that right now, but there's time, and then Evans down there at the bottom. All right, that's kind of the long and short of it today on Coffee with the recruiting weekend. Again, great to see everybody this past weekend. Hope in the future there's more FaceTime with Gamecock Nation. But can't thank everybody enough for coming out. Can't thank everybody enough for the support that you've given us here with Chief Sports and Inside the Gamecocks and Coffee and also the BigSpur.com 3.0 and Gamecock Central. And then we got something fantastic if you love high school football and every other high school sport. FourQuarterFriday.com is going to launch soon as part of the Rivals Network on 3. And what we want to create is a hub for high school sports. In other words, you can go read about high school sports statewide. Everything from 1A and SKESA to 5A, Division I, the big schools, little schools, whatever. We're going to need your help. Those of you out there in the towns that love your high school team, a lot of this is going to work like the old school local newspapers, email submissions. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what needs to get up, all that. But we also got Rob, we have Rob Williams and Matt Smith who are going to be working it for us along with Mad Dog, and then behind the scenes, myself and Jamie Bradford, and then some other special people that will be involved. But, there's 200 and something high schools in South Carolina. It's not like covering one team. And then how many sports? So you're like 20, what is 2,500 different quote unquote teams. Are we crazy? I don't know. There's nothing like it though. And people love high school sports in South Carolina. So we're excited about that. And when we go on break, this starting Friday is our last day, our annual summer hiatus with ITG. That's mainly what we're going to be doing. Got a meeting today about it and all that. And then of course, you can still join Gamecock Central and the BigSpur.com for $1. Great article by Harrison up on the site yesterday. And I'll leave you with this. This offensive line, and it hasn't all been at Carolina, right? It hadn't all been in the SEC. But 206 games played and 300 and I'm sorry, 206 starts and 350 games played. That doubles any other offensive line. And this is just taking the projected starters. So, in other words, Peak, Purvis, Miller, Poku, and Surratt. And then going back at the other usual starters that, who started most of the time. I mean, 23 was a revolving door, but Harrison calculated who did most of the time. This is double what Beamer's ever had here. Now, coaches tell you, experience on the offensive line is a good thing. So there's another sliver of hope, and the Gamecock Nation in unison, in chorus, just said, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm in show me mode. I don't blame you with the group up front. And I can't tell you it's going to be super duper this year. The new gives you hope that it'll be better. It's a different group, so you got to give it a different group a chance. But the fact that it's a new group also could be a negative. So that's one. It's kind of a work in progress. But the good news is there's probably not going to be as much thinking getting. That's a good thing, right? With the whole offense. All right, this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Appreciate you listening. And I'm out. So holla at you soon.